Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you, always.
Welcome to the Popcorn Talks Jedi Alliance. I'm Ken Napsok for a fun, I've been looking forward to this episode for a long time. A fun. Sorry, every time I always have my laptop open and I always do this stupid thing where I play it. I gotta learn. You think I'd learn.
We're gonna be stuck in a 6-second loop for the entire show,
the
aren't we?
Entire show. Oh, keep it going live. I love it when it's live. This is the action figure episode. We teased this a couple weeks ago. We wanted to dive in, and then Maude Garrett had to move on, so we moved the show after because I knew it would warm my soul with her departure. I needed something to make me happy again in an episode devoted entirely to Kenner's Star Wars figures, which ran from 1977 to 1985. To do that, I brought a veritable round table of action figure knights. Returning to the show is our resident Jedi Alliance toy expert, Mr. Mike Black.
Hi, everybody. I'm excited.
Sitting a little low today, like yeah, you're in the Jabba seat.
I'll tell the truth, I'm far too fat to sit as high as everyone else and be able to climb up there and get any purchase on this desk without breaking it, so I'm at Ugnaught level for this.
You're like a Gamorrean guard trying to get up to the bar stool.
Just trying to escape from the Rancor. Just, it's not working.
Mike, of course, is a fan favorite. He's been on the show a couple times. People love him. His toy knowledge is extensive. If you follow him on Instagram, he has got a wonderful collection of pictures he puts out just about every day.
Some tasteful nudes.
Tasteful nudes, now of some great figures. I go through his Instagram feed going, yeah, I love that figure. Oh, I had that one. And he's great to have on the show. And returning, they were here last week with me. They are now regular routine members of the Jedi Alliance, Joseph Scrimshaw and Mark Riley. Welcome, boys.
I am also excited to be here.
I am very happy to be here.
Now, for this episode, I had to pick, quite frankly, a certain age group.
Yeah.
Of a group of people that were here for the Kenner explosion of figures, and you guys fit that bill. But before we do, there's some Star Wars news I know you out there in the Jedi Alliance audience want us to cover. And you can join the conversation by going to our Facebook page, finding us there, and also on Twitter at Jedi_Alliance. Join the conversation, and in the chat room up there, too. So we got the news, boys.
Yeah.
Came broke Thursday.
Yeah. Big news.
The standalone movie now has a title, and mm-hmm. It has a confirmed lead actress and a new composer.
Yeah.
So let's run through. We got the title of Rogue One. Initial reactions upon hearing that.
I don't know what to think. Because at first I thought, well, I got that first bit of information, and I had a whole movie in my head. Then I got the second bit of information. I was like, oh, it's not that.
you had wrote your fan fiction script in
it
your
just
head.
Immediately all came
so
into
you,
my head.
So you were excited, and then you're disappointed. So I think that's a perfect Star Wars reaction.
But then excited
the
again
gamut of emotions.
When I thought about other things that might have been instead.
Are you talking about the Bounty Hunter kind of movie?
Yeah,
that
what was
rumored?
The story in your head?
No, Rogue One, I figured, was just going to be about old Luke as an old X-Wing pilot and just having fun out there being old.
Driving around.
And like, I don't know.
You thought it was like a Mark Hamill solo?
I thought, why not? Fuck it, they got him working again.
Like coffee in an X-Wing with Jedi, with Mark Hamill, like a talk show?
I'm going to go to Tosche Station and pick up my insure.
He finally gets his power converters. No, I thought it was going to be like an old badass like X-Wing thing adventure. Yeah. I don't know. Like maybe he would get like form a new squadron or something. I don't know. Yeah. But it seemed cool in my head.
Yeah.
And then when I saw the second part of information, I was like, oh, well, it's not going to be that at all.
No.
And that's fine.
Yeah, you might make an appearance. I was thrilled because I'm a little worried about the standalone movies because it seems like they could do sort of weird fan service of just like, everybody likes Boba Fett, we have no ideas, but screw it, here's Boba Fett.
Yeah.
So I was really happy to see something that just with the title and the actor confirmed, mm-hmm. I can imagine 4 or 5 different movies in different time periods. And I was excited that it made me think of ideas of how to play in the Star Wars universe as opposed to just, oh, we're going to see Boba Fett do some stuff because Boba Fett's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But, I love that we all immediately have our own ideas when we hear the title. Like, oh, like, yeah, could it be? Yeah. Luke at an old folks' home. Mr. Riley, we talked about it a little bit on Schmo's Know this week. But,
we did, yeah.
Rogue One, what's that do for you?
I love the title because it. I remember the Rogue call sign coming from Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Which I love. So hearing Rogue One, I talked a little bit about on Meet the Movie Press with Miri Jedekin, who was also my... We went a little deep on it as well, thinking that it could be with some bounty hunters because Rogue is a definition of maybe the bounty hunters.
Sure.
And then we had that information that we famously discussed now that we had this tip, if you were, that it was about the plans for the Death Star being the movie slash film finally broke it. So if that's the case... Mm-hmm. I think we're on that line. I think Rogue One can be maybe the X-Wing pilots or the
something
Rebels.
Related to it.
Something related with bounty hunters getting Death Star plans. So biased a little bit on knowing what I know or hearing what I've heard. Bottom line is I love it.
Yeah. And I'm thrilled to have a female lead. I'm thrilled to have a female lead out of the gate.
That's it was needed. The uproar that happened in the episode 7 casting, you couldn't ignore it. And and they make a pretty bold choice. Felicity Jones is coming off Theory of Everything and a great thing. And I know you were a fan of some of her work in Spider-Man.
Yeah, she was. She had a great small little part in Spider-Man where she may have led to her playing the Black Cat.
She
if they
the
continued the movie.
Yeah,
Felicia Hardy. And I would like to have seen that because she's cute and a very good actress. And so, but now that's not going to happen. And so sadly, she has to lead a Star Wars movie instead.
I know.
I don't know how she'll endure.
Yeah. When we got that news last August, we got it confirmed.
That's
an odd way to say it.
It was confirmed.
It's the Dukes of Hazzard episode, isn't it?
It's the confirmed. We got that thing confirmed right there.
That's right.
We get the confirmation of the story. Like people who told us in Schmoville were like, no, this movie's going to be about the Death Star plans. And you and I had the same reaction of kind of spinning off what you said, Joseph. I love this better than just Boba Fett grows up or Han goes to the Imperial Academy. This is something that we know happened in the Star Wars universe. Yeah. We just never got to see.
Yeah. I think it's a perfect concept for a spinoff.
Yeah.
And one that can lend itself well to it. I've always asked, are there going to be, if this is a massive success, which I'm sure it will be, is there going to be a sequel to that? Which I don't, I'm kind of hoping that the spinoffs just remain a spinoff. One.
Yeah.
One and out. Great story. Mm-hmm. If it's the Death Star plans, I would love to hear that. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily need the bounty hunters in it or Boba Fett to be a supporting player, but we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, even like if they went like the Pulp Fiction model where it's like some characters interweave, but
I
overall
love that.
It's standalone stories and stuff like that.
Harvey Keitel just shows up at some point.
Oh, you call him the Wolf?
Yeah. Lax Sivrak is his name actually in the cantina, the Wolf.
Yeah.
And this is not the show to go on endlessly speculating about future movies. There are other shows out there for that, but I do want to have a little bit of speculation on Felicity Jones' character. In the Princess Leia standalone, there is a rebel pilot named Evan. It doesn't seem like it would work for her to be in the Rogue One film, but Felicity Jones kind of looks like her, and they really introduced this character pretty clearly in the Princess Leia comic series now. And then also could be someone like Sabine from Rebels. Any thoughts on what she might be? Let's have fun. Armchair quarterback fantasy booking.
One of my favorite theories out there that I don't think is true, but I like thinking about it, is that she's going to be playing young Princess Leia. Which I don't buy that, to be honest with you. I think there's too many kind of variables with that. And I've heard that actually there's a Princess Leia cameo in Force Awakens played by Carrie Fisher's daughter.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's good.
What's her name? Billy?
Billy Lord?
Billy Lord, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then I heard Hera as well.
Hera's possible.
You know, that might be interesting, right? She's a Twi'lek. Twi'lek, thank you.
But the Twi'lek or Twi'lek, in an episode of Clone Wars, Maude Garrett actually texted me.
I was just thinking this, yeah.
And she goes, hey, Obi-Wan just said Twi'lek. And then a few minutes later, she goes, he just said Twi'lek in the same episode.
You can never trust Obi-Wan.
He pulled a Lucas in the same episode.
So a Rogue
Depends
One today.
Depends on your point of view.
From a certain point of view. composer, score.
Yeah.
I don't know this. This is your kind of genre. You love composers and scores.
Yeah. So Alexander Desplat. I don't know. It's French. Winner of the composing Oscar for your favorite movie this year, Ken. Grand Budapest Hotel.
That's another thought, yeah.
He is a fantastic composer. He did Godzilla. He did Harry Potter Part 7. You know, he's got his roots in genre as well as independent. So I love that he's going to get to do the first non-John Williams score.
Right.
Now I'm wondering, are we going to get the fanfare at the beginning and the crawl of all these spinoffs?
So I would imagine they're going to keep major themes.
I think
stuff,
they need to do that.
I think they have to, because when it's slightly off, it's in the uncanny valley. Like,
yeah.
I remember
yeah.
when I saw the Clone Wars movie in the cartoon movie in the theater.
Get some drums. Yeah.
I wanted to just flip a table and leave, because like yeah. it's almost Star Wars theme, but it's not.
Yeah.
It
right.
makes it feel like cheap. It makes it feel like you're yeah. eating like cheese poofs instead of Cheetos. Like,
yeah.
It's like when I used to buy a Chony save pack for my Sony PlayStation.
There you go.
So I like this choice, regardless of what I thought about Grand Budapest or not. Being a big Wes Anderson fan, that's another discussion. John Williams is 83, even though he's still working and doing great work.
Yeah.
We know at some point there has to be a transition.
Yeah, and I think they just did it.
Or we have to download his brain.
Freeze his body, download all that.
We have some options.
Steps are taking being taken right now to assure John Williams.
So that is the big news on Rogue One, and for some reason I've said this before, but with Episode 7, I don't want to know anything. I already feel I know too much.
Yep. Me too.
The Rogue One spinoffs. I might click on a story or two just to figure it out. I'm so intrigued by what they're coming up with this outside of this.
Yeah, the general time period.
Right.
That kind of thing.
It's funny. Cool. I stayed away and even didn't even post. An article that one of my writers did, they saw some leaked concept art.
Yes.
And I just stayed away because I did read one thing in a tweet, and what I read I didn't like. I was like, no, I don't want to hear that.
Right. And you know, and to the fans out there, I appreciate your tweets and join the conversation like we always do. Just a lot of you actually message me spoiler stuff. I don't click on it. I don't look on it. I don't look at it. I don't do it. Seth Cano at Captain Volcano 90 tweeted in, maybe in Rogue One we'll finally see some Bothans. Now, we know that the Bothans maybe had something to do with the stolen Death Star plans for Death Star 2, but mm-hmm. that doesn't mean...
It does not eliminate them from also being slaughtered to get the plans for Death Star 1.
They may have a proud history of dying for different plans.
Yeah, I mean, that might be just a part of their stuff. A part of their culture, is that we die to stop large, spherical
large
death things.
From happening.
They're the Japanese kamikazes of the Star Wars universe.
We're really good at stealing blueprints. Yeah. It's kind of our house sigil.
We hate industry as Bothans.
We don't mind dying over it either.
Yeah. Oh.
Anything to get out of this tedium.
So there you go. Rogue One hits theaters December 2016.
You just have to wait 1 year for
it's
Star
almost
Wars.
There.
And then 6 months after that for
good
episode
time.
Eight.
Yeah, good time. To be
just stay alive,
fan.
Everyone.
Stay alive. We will find you. Like
unlike the Bothans.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
So let's dive into the action figures.
Woo-hoo!
Yes. One of the best parts of being a Star Wars fan growing up then... And even now there's so many action figures to choose. Mike Black convinced me to get into the Black Series. You're not related to that.
No, I get no money out of that.
And they're now hanging all in my room. Jabba didn't make it today, but the Biker Scout did. Eagerly waiting the Black Series Han riding the Tauntaun that comes out in May.
Ooh.
But the Kenner line of Star Wars action figures helped fuel the love of the movie. It helped explode it into markets that it normally wouldn't have done. It helped rewrite the book on merchandising. And we all are living examples of what the action figures can do to further your love of the Star Wars universe. You guys were talking a little bit about the history of Kenner getting it, almost not getting it, Mattel, all this stuff.
Do you want to?
No, you go for it.
Well, I'll start with the early part, which is George Lucas going to Mattel and saying, "I have this great idea for a movie, and the toys will be great and everything." And they were like, "We can't make that stuff by Christmas. You should have come to us 2 years ago. Are you crazy? How much do you?" He's like, "Well, I don't know. Give me a." He threw out some number, and they were like, "Ridiculous! We're not paying that much for a movie that no one's ever seen. Yeah. Get out of here!
How dare you, sir?"
Yeah, they just threw an everlasting gobstopper at him. Get out of here! So he leaves, goes to Kenner. Kenner is like, well, we can't make them in time for Christmas either.
Yeah.
But what we can do is publish IOUs for the public and let them buy those. And then when they're ready, we'll ship them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Kenner did that, and they've pretty much had the license until they went out of business and got absorbed by Hasbro.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So there's the empty box set.
Early Bird Christmas special.
Yeah, so it was an actual... This is my favorite part of this Star Wars history of the... You know, you would get the empty box, and then that had the IOUs in them. So you actually had a physical thing. But then, I can't remember, I think it was when Sith came out, was the anniversary of the empty box. So they produced a empty box replica.
Yes.
But the best thing about it to me was the empty box... came in a box.
Yeah.
So if you were a hardcore collector, you would have to buy two boxes.
Right.
One so you could take your empty box out of the empty box and one to keep pristine, which would be a box within a box. And to me, that at that point, that was like a great analogy for Star Wars of like, it's cool and elusive and weird, but it's just kind of layers and layers around... the idea of something, there's nothing, it's just the force in the center of the box.
We just want a box to open to find an empty box. That is Star Wars. Could you imagine, I was 1 year old when Star Wars came out. I actually saw it at a drive-in theater, swaddled in baby clothes. Yeah. But I wasn't of age during that Christmas. But I know there's some fans out there listening to Jedi Alliance who do. I'd love maybe to post on our Facebook page. What it was like on Christmas morning to open up that box and get a note that said, you'll get these later.
Mm. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I didn't have to endure that because I was like 2 years old.
Yeah, I was too.
And so like when I finally actually had action figures, it was such a new, the whole idea of action figures was new to me, and Star Wars was already prevalent everywhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was like 3 years old that Christmas, so I don't remember it either.
Yeah.
But I do remember early on enough that they had that great marketing angle of competition. That you should have things before your friends. So I can imagine if I had that box, I would have been
American
a jerk about it. Like, I got a Star Wars box and you don't. You know, I totally would have done that.
Mark, you experienced a little bit later in about 1983 with the Endor playset, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How did that work out for you?
That was my parents' version of the early bird IOU because they could. It was so popular by that time now, these action figures.
Right.
And I was going, you know, crazy. I wanted the Ewok Village. They couldn't get it because the demand was off the chart.
Yeah.
So I got an IOU from Santa.
Everyone laughs now, but the Ewoks were a big deal.
They
at the
were
time.
A and huge like, deal.
I swear.
You could not find any of them
me.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is like a age thing that hinges on like a year or 2 years.
Yeah.
Because right. I think I might be like a year older or 2 years older than you guys.
Yeah.
And that is the cutoff for despising the Ewoks. I mean, I still got the action figures.
Yeah.
I still had to hunt for
them. It's
like
they are part of the universe,
but
whether I like it or not.
Yeah, the dislike of the Ewoks, I think, is this very fine age thing.
Steven, you got this picture up right now.
I love that.
That's
photo.
That shot
that's,
here.
Oh,
and
man, I would go crazy.
Watching it here. This when you were a child in our era, you'd walk into a like, KB Toys or something. And
Toys R Us.
Toys R Us.
Yeah.
And a wall of action figures would greet you when they hit when they hit the stores.
And they weren't organized at all.
No,
like they,
no.
So it
you
wasn't
the same.
Yeah, so you had to claw through all of
you
them.
You can see here that they weren't. They didn't give a damn about organizing any of that.
Yeah,
just shove them on the pegs.
Yeah, it's fun to think of a generation where the adults truly didn't understand why the kids were going so nuts over this. Like I think the whole world understands pedantic geeks. Yeah. Passionate geeks enough to know, like, oh, you have to have all of the Lobots on one peg. And the adults at that time were like, Lobot, Walrus Man, who gives a damn?
Yeah.
Exactly. It'd be Bespin Guard, the black and the Asian one, like, separate apart. I'd find, you know, the AT-ST driver.
Yeah. It was so fun as a kid, too, to, like, you'd go to shop and buy them. And you could tell that the guy who ran the store had never seen any of it. He's like, oh, yeah, I got a whole bunch of the Darth Vaders. And like, there's a white Darth Vader, black Darth Vader, red Darth Vader. We got all of them, all the different Darth Vaders.
Oh, man, I got in a fight at the Mervin store. A display just like that. All this haphazardly thrown up there. It was Return of the Jedi. And there was the elusive figure that I needed, and that was Princess Leia in her bounty hunter disguise.
Okay.
And I'm looking, and there's another girl looking, and we're doing this, and we both find it at the same time. and proceeded to go back and forth on, and I mean, I still remember finally winning. I did push a girl. I pushed a girl
for
down.
Princess Leia action.
And you were right to do it.
And I was right to
this
do it.
This poor girl only had one hero to look up to in the galaxy, and you took it from her.
Yep, she was my hero too, so get in line. Get in line, lady.
Now be honest, was there a Lady and the Tramp moment somewhere in there where the two of you locked eyes?
No, please.
Still not old enough.
Don't put the action figure in your mouth.
Showed it to my mom because it was the last one and they were hard to find. I just remember that.
They were.
And she's like, "Great, you got what's wrong with that?" Because now the packaging was bent. It's already halfway open.
You monster.
Yeah. What's wrong with it is that I won it fair and square, Mom. That's what's wrong with it.
I've only fought over one action figure. It was with my friend in college, and it was over an Owen Hart WWF action figure at a Toys R Us near our community college. Well done, sir, pushing down the little girl.
Apologize out there to the little girl if you've now grown up.
Did you think you stunted her growth?
I might have stunted her growth.
I froze her in time, so she could not challenge me as an adult.
We can meet at Mervyn's, or now it's Lowe's, and we can talk.
I have an even more shameful admission that'll make you feel much better.
Please.
Last week at Walmart... A little boy found the Scarlet Witch Marvel Legends figure that I needed to complete Odin. And I looked at his dad and was like, "Does he really want a doll?" And his dad goes, "No." And like puts it back and moves him off. And I was like, "Mine."
This is the worst. I
was in a Target, and a young mother and her 8-year-old, 9-year-old son was looking for what turned out to be Zam Wessel, the Attack of the Clones, Changelon bounty hunter, an Australian actress who I actually like that character from the prequels. And I'm standing there, I'm looking at something else, and the mother's like, I don't know what you're looking for, a bounty hunter. And he's like, it's a bounty hunter, and Anakin chased her, and I'm like, it's Zam Wessel. And the mother, I thought I was helping the mother out. She shushed her kid and moved him from the aisle. Like some weird white dude was like, "It's the bounty hunter Zam Wessel. Here's the figure right there." I also waited in line for the Phantom Menace figures outside Toys R Us.
I did too.
Yeah.
That's another show.
We are
going to come back and do the 90s Power of the Force series.
Yeah, because those are great. I think a different experience, and I know that a lot of the viewers and listeners are younger, and I'm sure they had their first Star Wars experience.
That may have been a lot of them's
with
first.
Those figures, and there's a lot of cool things about those figures.
So let's dive into what
how ripped they were.
At first.
The Luke came. Well, let's dive into our top five figures. I asked these gentlemen to join me in naming their top five classic Kenner action figures. And we have some pictures that we found of each one. What's interesting, though, there's a lot of crossover. You guys not knowing what the other people picked.
I love this.
Picked some very similar ones. So we're going to start first with Mark Reilly's figures.
Yeah.
And going from 1 to 5.
Okay.
You had Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker.
Nice. That's right.
Tell me the story of that figure.
That story is my favorite because huge Star Wars fan, as we know. I'm nuts for Empire Strikes Back. I'm nuts for Return of the Jedi coming. My mom goes to Europe, England, and comes back with this figure. And it's the first time I saw the shot of Luke in Jabba's palace, and I just went, yeah! Rip open, play, what is this? It just was so perfect for me. So there's just the greatest memory surrounding that figure. I was at the height of my love for these movies. The figures, the action figures, needed them all, and Luke being my favorite of all time.
Oh, you must have gone nuts seeing the back with like all the other figures.
And all the characters.
Yes.
And trying to put the plot together.
I did. I think that's what really started probably my writing career. Was like, well, this must mean that he did this, and then he did this, and blah, 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 and then that scene, you know. So I just went nuts.
And there was a special joy of, especially back then in 83, where, you know, you couldn't go to the internet and get spoilers and set pictures and
this
releases.
My first spoiler.
That was it.
Yeah, this is my first image, like when they go, hey, first image from Avengers, here it is, everybody click.
Even back in 99 with Phantom Menace, and listener Movie Mentality here put a comment of his first figures with the Phantom Menace, and they came with a voice chip. That was also like the first you heard of the movie. I had those too. You put them on. So even back in 99, but back in 83, that first shot of Luke's got a gun. Where is he?
Look at those aliens behind him. Why is he in black? What's this cloak? Why doesn't he have a lightsaber? Where is his lightsaber? But it did have the green lightsaber with it.
Yeah.
That was the other thing. I went,
And it was an actual good lightsaber, green. Too.
Yeah. Finally, he could hold
the telescoping ones, you know.
Next on your list is Princess Leia in Bounty Hunter disguise. Bausch or Boosh?
I would call her Boosh. I don't know why.
I'm sure the girl you fought her called her Bausch.
That's why we got in a fight.
So this is the one you fought over.
This is the one I fought over. Again, it's tied to these memories.
I hope she's watching.
I hope she is too. She might not remember. But yeah.
That little girl grew up to be Maude Garrett.
Hey, sorry about that, Maude. I think by this time I'd seen the movie and I needed this figure, obviously, for reasons. And it was very popular.
Well, they had the mask that came off,
too. The circumstances around it. Leia's in a bounty hunter disguise. How cool is that? If you just take that. And walk into a toy store, maybe not even seeing the movie, but knowing Princess Leia, and go, she dresses as a bounty hunter?
Did you believe that she made up this bounty hunter? I had believed that she had killed a bounty hunter that was already kind of famous that looked like that. So it was like getting two figures.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you can be that guy going off on his adventure.
I'm sure there's a story and we can Wikipedia it. I don't know it offhand. But I went with Mike on that one. I always thought people were like, oh, it's Bausch. She's hit. Yeah. Why does her mask come off? You know, that's the direction I went with that. And how cool was it? Princess Leia was a princess of action all the way through Star Wars and Empire. But by this time, this is her first real, like, action mission. Figure. She's got a weapon. She's got this mask. She's got all this stuff. She's not in a flowy, frilly robe. She is ready to fight it out and save her man. And I love that. That's what she did.
I like that they went deep cover too for this. You know, like to rescue Han. Like they're like, how long had Lando been there?
Right.
You know, when you think about it. Like, that was a long time.
I'll show you where the break room is. That's where you clock out.
It's
Luke's
cash.
First plan as a Jedi, and my theory is that he is just trying everything, like a good Jedi, to avoid conflict.
Yeah.
So he throws every friend out and like, all right.
Yeah.
Here's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Next on your list is Darth Vader, the classic Darth Vader from Star Wars.
Yeah. This just has, I mean, I just look at that placard and I just go, it's just memories, you know?
Yeah.
Because it was Darth Vader. And when I'm three years old, getting these figures, having seen the original movie, watching it over and over again, Darth Vader became my favorite because he's the dude in the black with the thing, and I gotta play his stuff every day. So,
It's ultimately his saga, too. Like, looking back, that would probably be the most iconic of the Kenner figures, I think.
That's why I gravitate towards it as my number three.
And number four is Empire Strikes Back Han Solo, a.k.a. Bespin Han Solo, which I know will pop up later
as well. Solid choice.
Yeah. And I love that card there.
That he had such a GQ pose the card.
That's the only card I vividly remember from childhood.
Thank you. I
saw that one and I was like, oh, fuck, this is awesome.
I remember it
well. I didn't say the F word when I was a kid, but I was feeling it.
You thought it.
A very close second to all the characters. And I know, Ken, your favorite is Han Solo. I mean, of course I love
Han's
Han Solo.
Yeah, Han's my guy.
So when I see this, and I see him standing there just like that, and again, I remember having not seen the movie yet. I'm getting these figures before it's coming out.
Han's got a jacket now.
He's got a jacket. He's got this
What does this
look.
Mean?
He's
this
rich. He can afford sleeves.
Yeah. I'm going crazy in my head. What does this mean? Empire Strikes Back. Wow, it's this title, and I'm going to buy this now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And fifth, rounding out your list is Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. Where?
And now we're talking the classic Boba Fett,
not so
much the spring-loaded rocket that would kill kids that never really hit the market, but this is Empire Strikes Back Boba Fett.
Yeah, again, I think I got it actually after the movie, when I finally saw the movie, and like everybody out there went, who's that guy? He's the coolest. Need him now. And so I bought it and played with him like you wouldn't believe.
Right.
So
he's
my favorite.
That's good. That's a great, solid list.
Thank you.
Good top five, Mr. Mark Reilly.
Thank you. I appreciate
Boba Fett was so popular that I don't know of a loose Boba Fett that's unscathed.
Like,
they're all missing something.
They've got
real battle scars and stuff.
I went crazy with that one.
I don't think I actually ever owned a Boba Fett from the classic line.
Really?
I got them.
Wow. Really?
I think I did have that Bespin security guard.
But no, I have vivid memories of playing with him at my grandmother's house on her hearth of the fireplace, and he, you know, jumped out of my hand.
Listener Fan Solo just wrote that the Kenner vintage figures are the all-time greatest Star Wars toys, and I totally agree. That's why we're starting here. Some of the other shows' figures are great. The Black Series is blowing my mind, but there's something so special about this. I'm glad you guys are joining this conversation. Next on the list, top five, is Mr. Joseph Scrimshaw.
Woo-hoo.
And he was the first to get his list into me. He had it. That meant you had it right then and there in your soul.
It was torture. I worked longer on narrowing this list down than I did writing my wedding vows. It was some of the hardest decisions I've ever made. Yeah. I love these figures. Unlike you, Mark, I was incredibly delicate.
Yeah.
With my figures.
Yeah.
My brother was 3 years older than me, and this was a very connective tissue in our relationship, is all of these action figures and playing with it. And we had a bond that we would play with our action figures, and our friends, we would like see how they behaved with their action figures.
And
if they were
smart.
Too abusive, no. And we got to a point where we would sort of henpeck one another about how many times, like, as we played, do you really need to move Han's arm at this point? Because you're going to loosen him up too much. So
we
monitored and took very good care of these. My first was the Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker as well.
That too. And I got a little more closer, a photo of the picture, the gun, the cape.
I think a thing that we can lose track of is the figures did jump in quality massively between the three films. So
absolutely.
This was, you know, the best looking Luke by far.
Yeah.
First time his lightsaber color was accurate.
Yeah.
Because Bespin Luke had a yellow lightsaber.
Right.
The cloak was cool. But for me, the story of the figure was a story of hope, because my brother, being 3 years older, was always trying to, like, condition me for the worst. So this was about 6 months, whatever the actual time was that the figures were released pre-Return of the Jedi. And we lived in a small town in Minnesota called St. Cloud, and we were driving up to the big city of Minneapolis to go to the stores. And I was telling my brother, I just have a feeling the Return of the Jedi figures are going to be there. And he, like, pulled me aside and, like, I don't want you to be disappointed. So you need to know they won't be there.
It's probably going to be a bunch of broken Lobots.
Yeah, right. But I demanded for him to tell me, if they are out, who do you want? And I think we had seen, like, some previews. And he's like, I want the Gamorrean Guard.
Nice.
So I turned the corner in Sears and was like, holy swear words.
Yeah.
The first thing I saw was Luke Skywalker. Blew my mind. And then I dug through desperately trying to find a Gamorrean guard to impress and shame my brother for being wrong and doubting me. So I just see hope when I see that
That's
figure.
So great.
You had faith in the Force.
I had faith in the Force, and it was rewarded.
It's a great figure.
So you had a great brother. My brothers were 10 and 11 years older than me and would switch the heads on all my figures.
Oh,
and
no.
I did not have the strength to switch them back.
Oh, God. That's terrible. Yeah, my brother briefly ran away. We lived in Portland, Oregon, and then we were going to move back to Minnesota, and we didn't want to.
Yeah.
So my brother took his Han Solo, his Bespin Han Solo, and ran away for like 5 minutes.
Oh,
and then
man,
came back because my parents hadn't noticed. Like, Han and I ran away. You didn't even notice.
Han and I ran away.
With Han at your side. Next on your list?
Yoda. And I particularly had the Yoda with the hard orange snake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
there's a lot of snake variations.
Hey now.
He was a character that, you know, I loved in the movie, and I really, really was desperate to find him. So he was one of my first, like, geek things where, like,
picture.
I found him.
That's a great
figure.
They knocked him out of the park, really.
They really did.
They did a great job with the figure. And Yoda was incredibly hard to find. All the other kids on the block wanted Yoda, and there was an older dude who, at this point, reminds me of Palpatine. He tried to manipulate me again and again. He would get me alone when my older brother wasn't there. He would say,
oh boy.
18. I have 18 Star Wars action figures. You could have more action figures than anyone else on the block, and all you have to do is give me Yoda.
No.
And I would just, like, I would be strong and say, no.
And what were the figures?
No.
Hoth Warrior 1, Hoth Rebel 1.
Yeah, Hoth Warrior 1, like super loose Princess Leia.
Quality,
you know, just,
not quantity, man.
Yeah, some
Tusken Raider with a missing
way of
arm.
Collecting unnatural.
Exactly. So when I see Yoda, it's none of...
Where can I get these figures? Not from a Jedi.
Not from a kid who plays with them responsibly.
This guy sounded very creepy, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He was. He was. I think his name is Sean.
Okay.
Screw Sean. You, Sean, wherever you are.
Creepy Sean.
He's held strong. I still have that Yoda, and I know exactly where he is, and he's safe from Sean.
He married the girl I pushed over at Mervyn's.
I like to picture Sean watching this going, someday, someday.
Number three was an interesting choice on your list.
Bosk.
Oh, yeah, man.
So, Bosk, obviously the bounty hunters were super cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the cool things about The Empire Strikes Back, the quality of the action figures, because the humans they hadn't perfected, when they had an alien or someone with armor, the action figures looked cooler more realistic.
That's a great point.
Yeah, look how close he looks to his picture there.
Yeah. So like, oh, wow. When you were a kid in the late 70s, early 80s, you just kind of accepted that certain things couldn't happen. And you just sort of accepted, like, it's impossible. You know, if you even believe that God is real, God could not make an accurate Mark Hamill action figure. Yeah. These things are impossible.
Yeah.
But somehow they made a perfect Bosk.
They did.
And the other super cool thing about him is he comes with his little rifle, but he has the weird little lizard hands.
Right. Yeah.
And he's got this strange, twisty grip. So he's holding the rifle in a really weird way.
Yeah.
And I was really fascinated with that.
I love
just
it.
The different way of holding the rifle. Because it seemed like Bosk was maybe that his race, the Trandoshans, were not meant to hold rifles, but he'd figured out a way.
But he was a good bounty hunter, nonetheless.
Nonetheless.
He didn't let that slow him down.
Nope.
And then, speaking of bounty hunters, number four on your list.
This was Princess Leia in Bush disguise.
Hey,
I always called it Bush disguise.
Bush, Bausch.
I don't know where I got Bush, but I ran with Bush.
I do.
I was 9 years old.
Euphemism
went over my head.
That's where you got.
So when you went to the store and said, can I have Princess Leia's Bush? Everyone like, this kid, what's wrong with him?
When you got it, did you hold it up and go, we've got Bush.
Well, I will be honest with you. For some reason, saying Bausch sounded dirty to me as a kid. But Bush sounded like decent and clean.
Perfectly fine.
All of the things that were said before of, I thought it was just so cool that Princess Leia was a bounty hunter and was, you know, being shown really holding her own. And also, the same thing as like with Bosk, the outfit looked great.
Yeah.
She looked really cool. So
it was just one of the best moments of any parts of the saga when she pulls out that thermal detonator. Like, what a great... And then you're, as a kid, you're like, what's... And 3PO getting all freaked out. That was a great moment to find out it was Princess Leia.
That said so much about everything up. Every character in there.
Yeah.
Like, the Jabba the Hutt's just laughing about it, and that she's willing to do it, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I think the scene then where she also takes the mask off and Han asks her who it is, someone who loves you, and to me, it's like, way back in 83, they nailed what we're striving to do now with women characters of, you don't just have to be a badass who kicks characters who has, like, typical masculine strength. You can be a fully rounded character of, like, I'll blow this whole place up. But I also love my man.
Yeah.
And it's like both sides of, the typical gender.
Totally.
Yes. So that was really cool.
Wasn't the voice too great?
It's amazing.
Your day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just great.
And the action figure was very difficult to find, so there was also that special that I found it. And I would have knocked a person down for
Rounding
it, too.
Rounding out your list is one of my favorites. It just came in on my list, maybe six or seven, but you got this one.
General Nadine.
General Fritz Nadine!
With the comb over and everything.
Yeah. So he came out after the movie had come out. He was in like the second or third Return of the Jedi wave. And the thing that I really liked about him is at that point we were getting so deep, and it was cool because for Return of the Jedi, they went deeper than they ever had with the Star Wars or the Empire line. So you're getting into these weird characters. And even as a kid, I really realized you are pushing the definition of action figure. You've given me a bureaucrat who comes with a pointer.
Notice this? I'm out.
And I love that the card had him in a pilot's chair on the cruiser, which is from a deleted scene in Return of the Jedi of him in the kind of a command position.
Yeah.
But I love that character. I had it, too.
Yeah.
I told you guys off air, my mom and dad kind of weren't the best gift gift. It was like, I want Han Solo, and I'd get Crix.
General Crix Madine. You didn't even know his first name was Crix. He was just General Madine.
Forcing you to imagine and come up with great adventures for him, things to point at throughout space.
Great PowerPoint presentations he can lead. But that's a great figure. Great color scheme to the figure. It's bright. It's blue. It's gray. Yeah. It's good.
One thing I love about the Rebels is their rank insignia is basically just cough drop packets.
Oh, yeah.
That's just how it's all decided.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not rank. Maybe they just also there's a bad bug going around Rebels.
General Nadine.
Excuse me. They all cut it on Hoth.
Yeah.
Now we move to Mike Black here. Your list is it's
full of repeats.
Full of repeats. Yeah. But your number one is not. Amanaman.
Yeah.
Amanaman.
Yeah, I just... That guy, look at him. How can you not love him?
Yeah.
I mean, he was so different from everybody else in the line.
Large scale.
And, like, you look at that big poster on the back that has, like, all the different characters.
Yeah.
He stands out so much. Mm-hmm. And they nailed him. And I don't even remember him in the movie.
He was a split second
in the back. Yeah.
Yeah.
The cantina.
I never had him, but I was always jealous of kids that did. I was like, oh, you lucky bastard.
That last wave of figures, they went nuts and did some of the things that kids had always been imagining.
Yeah.
Like this, and totally set up what was so cool
and
about the 90s
like too
figures.
Big. He seemed almost like Wampa size, like you were getting a special deal for getting him, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love the coins. I forgot all about
the
like, 85. The
this is
coins.
The 1985, 84, 85 Power of the Force. Kenner was kind of fading at this time. And it's weird to think now, 83 Jedi, by 86, 87, 88, Star Wars.
It was gone.
It was not a thing that you really talked about outside of a couple of your friends.
Yeah.
It had moved on. And so 85, this is the last gasp of the Power of the Force series.
Which made them really hard to find for the people who did want them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they just weren't being carried.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Number two on your list is Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker.
Hey,
you went
that.
With this one too.
Yeah.
What drew you to this one? Like these guys here.
Well, like I talked about earlier, is mostly the lightsaber. I loved that he came with a cloth hood.
Yeah.
I thought it just looked so cool, and
not
I was
that
like
70s hard plastic stuff they put out before.
Yeah. And I also, it was the first time I noticed that I was like, oh, he's wearing basically the same clothes, just black.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That, like, he's wearing, like, a darker version of his outfit. And that told me so much about what to expect from the next one, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
It's a great figure. I think the three of you have determined that this is the all-time best Star Wars figure.
We may have.
Yeah.
I think you have.
It's up there.
This is also the picture that was on my lunchbox.
Yes.
Yeah.
That very same photo.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I had that lunchbox. I think that was the lunchbox that all my figures were in when I sold them at the swap meet for $2.
Monster.
Oh, man. Horrible. My childhood.
That's awful.
Number three on your list is a returning figure, Bespin Han Solo, the Empire Han Solo.
Yeah.
It shows a different shot here, and you can see this figure in a little more detail.
Yeah, it almost kind of looks like Harrison Ford, which is about as big a compliment as you can give.
It's more like whoa, that photo has the wrong blaster, which offends me.
Yeah,
he has a Bespin blaster, but he came with his actual Han Solo.
That looks more like
DL-44, I believe.
Looks like Mosquito Coast Harrison Ford. That's like Empire Harrison Ford. But it's good.
That's from Witness, isn't it? That's his gun from Witness.
Yeah,
it's a great figure.
He looks like a cross between him and Sean Penn.
That's colors. That's colors, Sean Penn.
Yeah.
Fourth on your list is Yoda. Going to Yoda.
There we go.
Included the packaging there. I love that packaging and that
Me
little
too.
Tiny bubble.
Yeah. Man, that was also one that I got before I saw the movie, and I was like, I don't know who this is, but he's awesome.
Could you imagine going back to that time where you're like, who's Yoda?
Yeah.
What's this guy going to be?
Why is he so small?
Yeah.
What's the snake do?
It's like he's going to sing the Over the Rainbow song from the Muppet movie.
I forgot he had that weird little cardboard insert by his feet there.
Yeah.
That's
I don't know
right.
what that's for.
Making stump speeches. Yeah, I don't know.
That's funny.
And then rounding out your list, one of my favorites. I was so glad you chose this one. I actually kind of forgot this one.
Yeah.
Exploding C-3PO or C-3PO with removable limbs.
Yeah.
This is great. I love that that says Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, a little bit later release, but it's clearly Empire.
Yeah, it's Empire.
Yeah. Take us through that one, Mike.
Because it was a great figure. It was functional. It worked.
It did,
But it had the removable parts. It came with the backpack for Chewie, so it made your Chewbacca figure cooler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now he was so much better because he had a C-3PO to put together
and
stuff
you couldn't
like
really
that.
Get the arms couldn't bend, so you had to like put the Chewie arms back and then kind of weirdly slide it on.
Yeah, and I would turn his head backwards when he was carrying him, the whole thing.
I would too.
Yeah.
Oh, I wore that
I
figure
love
out.
This. Yeah, that and was... I have to say, I absolutely loved the update that they did on this later in the modern toys, where when you pressed on his head, the eyes lit up.
Yeah, that is amazing. This is the one time that my brother did violence to an action figure of, we knew this was coming out, or it had come out, and we couldn't find it, and he just decided, you can always get another C-3PO, C-3PO is always on the shelves.
Oh, no.
I'm just going to break the legs and one arm off of my C-3PO so I can do this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just
it's commitment.
That's hardcore.
Great list. Great list, Mike.
And somewhere that other manipulative guy was smiling when he did that. Yes. I feel the hate growing within you.
Take your 3PO. Strike him down. My list has some different ones on there, but it starts with one that got named before, and that is my number one all-time figure was Darth Vader.
There
the
you
classic
go.
Vader. Nice. The telescoping lightsaber with the little penub thing on the end, the little hanging out thing there. When I got that figure, I felt like I had finally arrived as a Star Wars fan. Like, that's the one. I got him. I got Vader. I got the most evil man in the galaxy, and he's in my hand. I love that figure, and I love taking the cape off for some reason and having to walk around in his jumpsuit.
Too. I did that too a lot.
Yeah, there was something about seeing your characters nude, as it were.
Yes, it is. Number two. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That whole outfit that he had underneath, like, I was like, well, this isn't what I pictured at all.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, because you felt like you got to see something that you didn't see in the movie. It's like, what does their butt look like? What does Vader wear on his
butt?
Which
I know that sounds pervy, but to a little kid, what someone's butt looks like is important.
But it wasn't actually their butt. It was like, oh, he's got another thing on the back of his belt? Or, like, I think Bosk had something on his, you know?
Vader had, like, a cell phone clip on his
I had called BS. When I would take off the cape, because he was so much skinnier in action figure. I'm like, that's not Vader. Put the cloak back on.
Love the Vader one. Number two on my list is Luke Skywalker, but a little different choice, Hoth Luke Skywalker.
I can get behind that choice.
This is a legit choice of mine. I didn't react to your guys' list, though I had your lists in front of me. This was one of my all-time favorite figures. I love moving the little thing, thing hanging from his little scarf.
Yeah.
You couldn't really move it, but you could kind of bend it up closer to his face.
Yeah.
I was always disappointed the binoculars didn't come off. They just kind of hung there. Hoth is my favorite sequence in the movies. I'm a cold weather person.
Me too.
And loved Luke. I never owned a Tauntaun though.
Really?
Oh, I loved the Tauntaun, how it just had that hole. You just stick him right in.
So I'd have
and
to,
it also had
and
the gun hole where you can stick him in that way too.
That's right. That's right.
I love that one there. Number three, and this is I've told the story here before. I sold all my figures at a garage sale when I was a kid in about 1987 for $2 to buy a skateboard. My parents sat and watched me, let me do it. They figured I'd learn a hard life lesson. The only figure I have left from my original collection is this man here. The AT-AT Commander. It was going to be titled, as it would have been correct, General Veers, but they changed it at the last minute. I think there might be a European release with General Veers' name on it. Look at that picture. You got the Battle of Hoth. That's why I loved it so much.
Yeah.
And I still have that figure. It only survived the sale at the garage sale because I had left it in the pilot seat of my Y-Wing.
Oh.
Non-canon.
He's jumping up. Maybe he stole the Y-Wing.
Yeah, crazy stuff happens.
He had to get off of Hoth somehow.
My fan fiction was that.
Yeah.
Love that figure there.
I love the offer for the free Revenge of the Jedi figure.
Yeah.
And that was a step down because, the Star Wars, you had the teaser of Boba Fett. And Empire into Jedi. You had the teaser of
Admiral Akbar.
Number four on my list is Emperor's Royal Guard.
That was a solid figure.
There was something about that figure. I am drawn to those guys in the movies. It's very similar for me to one of my favorite G.I. Joe line of figures, the Crimson Guard.
So for me,
it was like an extension of that. It was like this bright red, mysterious, masked kind of unit that protected the leader.
I was obsessed with these guys for a while. Do you remember the pencil toppers that came out?
Yes, they were
like about that big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were almost the size of like the Mego figures.
Yeah.
That was the only one that you were like, well, if I found some red cloth, I could make a dude that size. And so that was like the closest thing I had to a Star Wars figure that size.
Oh, wow.
And there have been many, many re-releases of this figure, and they obviously get better, more detailed as time goes on. But there's something for me, the cloth cape, the little stick he carried, and then that too. You lifted up the cape, and you're like, oh, he's got a red jumper.
Yeah.
No, he's got some really casual, Dockers under there.
Pajamas under there.
Like, pretty
definitely
realistic little crinkles in the pants,
yeah,
you know?
Did. Yeah, they did. And then rounding out my list is another weird one. I had a thing for the Imperial guys that just kind of did the work.
I consider this guy.
There you go.
Death Star Gunner. This is from the late release, the 1985 Power to Force series.
Yeah.
This figure, and I actually think he survived that sale, but he is somewhere in storage and I can't find him. But he, there was, you talked to Joseph about the quality growing.
Yeah.
This figure would not have been as good if it was released in 77.
No.
No.
This was the Return of the Jedi version, and this character, the visor, there was a thickness to the mold. It was one of the better figures, and it was released late and kind of a harbinger of things to come in terms of action figures and what you could do.
And that was one thing I forgot to say about Bush Bausch Boosh, that the actual fact that a helmet could fit on an action figure and then come back off was legit mind-blowing.
Oh, yeah. So cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely
just the
was.
Coolest.
Absolutely was. So that is my top five list there.
I gotta say, on this guy, clothes make the man, because how hard is it to aim at a planet?
Very true.
Screw you. You're fired.
And if stormtroopers have a hard time seeing out of their helmets.
Out there on
helmet's crazy.
Facebook, I put this out to you guys. Jeff Hazel had the Green Greedo released back in 1978, the all-green Greedo.
Oh, yeah.
T.J. Finley had the mail-away Sebastian Shaw version of Anakin Skywalker.
I had that.
I remember getting that.
John Gossin, too, he put a picture up, and I asked you guys on the Facebook page, put pictures up if you got them, and you guys could. John Gossin has his carded Return of the Jedi Vader that looked very good.
Nice.
And some votes here, and I'm surprised it didn't make, especially your list, votes for Dengar.
Oh, Dengar was really cool.
I had Dengar.
Yeah.
A lot of those there. A lot of those figures. You guys are great out there.
I hated Dengar. I'll be honest.
It wasn't that great.
The figure, even brand new, looked like it had melted.
Yeah. He looked like just a ball.
Dengar's had a hard life. That was his
thing. Yeah. I was like, they only invited him to the bounty hunter soiree at Vader's. So out of pity.
I want to make sure we have time for our Duel of Fates. It's a little different this week, but quickly, in a minute or two here, talk about your favorite vehicles and playsets. We talked about Endor, but for you?
For me, Dagobah.
Oh, nice.
I love that set. I loved the... It's so simple now that I'm old, but the quicksand feature, which was just foam cut in a four.
Right.
You know, I loved that, and I would play with that for hours. I loved the levitating lever. Mm-hmm. And the rock that would push up the little containers
the
and stuff.
The base was super detailed, so you could, find little lizards and creatures
Easter eggs hidden all over the base. And then inside the tree stump it actually looks like Yoda's place.
It
has,
very
detailed. There's a smaller tree stump that he has, food and stuff and stuff. It was a really detailed... That set was made with a lot of love.
I want to jump back to the figures really quick. Our listener, John Stabe, am I saying that right? John asked, did any one of you actually have the special promo Boba Fett, or have you seen it?
I've seen prototypes. I've seen the gray one that has the white dissected lever in the back and the the missile that pops out. But they never released it. They never officially released it.
Yeah, and just in general, by Empire, they still hadn't caught up to demand. We all have Sebastian Shaw, the Anakin Skywalker, because he was you send your stings in. But Boba Fett was still kind of hard to get.
They honored that deal, if that's what he's talking about. They sent people Boba Fett's, but they weren't rocket firing.
The rocket ones never made it.
Yeah,
they came with a note, in fact, saying because of choking hazard and stuff, we can't.
The famous choking hazard note. Just vehicles, playsets?
I would go with Dagobah for the one that I actually had, but I always think about the Death Star. It is the white whale. It was the thing that everybody wanted that was way too expensive.
Yeah.
And I remember asking for it, and my parents didn't have a lot of money, but my grandma did. And when they sat me down and said, not even your grandmother can afford the Death Star. It was, again, that sort of untouchable thing. And I am just sort of fascinated as an adult. Like, I've done research. I've done, like, comedy monologues about the Death Star playset to be
that
invested.
They were right on both levels, like, as the toy and as an actual Death Star. Not even your grandmother could afford the Death Star.
No, she couldn't. But to be just that invested in something that is so cheap.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was so... quickly and made, I don't think it was made poorly. It was just things weren't made that fancy.
But yeah,
yet.
It was not the best. It was like three layers of plastic. It was basically like a Lazy Susan with some cardboard on it. You know, along the sides.
Yeah, and then like some orange foam for the trash compactor.
I was just gonna say,
and
yeah,
I love that
I
if you
that.
Go on eBay, you know, there's a whole little microcosm, like a ecosystem of Death Star parts.
Right.
Because nobody has the whole thing.
Awesome. Mr. Mark Riley, you got that indoor playset.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't my favorite. I mean, by far my favorite Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
I mean, because you could just take the back off, and then you had the chess set, you had the seats.
The Jerry.
You had it all.
It was both. It was a playset and a vehicle.
Yeah, exactly. And I loved being able to. And unfortunately, I remember my Millennium Falcon, I lost that top at one point.
Yeah.
So that really crushed me when the Millennium Falcon would have to go save Luke for the Death Star. How the hell is he going to do it with this thing missing?
The atmosphere, it's going to mess up.
Yeah, and then Leia would be sitting at the chess set, and just, what are we doing? You know, and I would just make it work. Well, there's a force field. I remember telling my sister while we were playing, there's a force field that that Han figured out with Chewie's help, and he can go. And she's like, no, that doesn't work. You're wrong.
So, I remember a kid, he was trying to impress me in his basement, and he put on this was a long time ago, by the way.
Well, he was never sure.
Yeah. He put on,
in a basement far away.
Put on roller skates, and he had his Millennium Falcon. He was like, what? And he ate it, and the Millennium Falcon just shattered to pieces.
I would have lost my mind.
He's laying on the floor, like, slobbering and crying and everything. And I'm trying not to laugh.
He didn't calculate his jump to hyperspace, and he smashed right into a wall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you okay?
You were asking the Falcon?
And he's like, face down. And he goes, I'm really mad. He's like, well,
and the
I gotta
wheels
go home.
Are still spinning on the roller skate.
That's
shattered like porcelain.
Yeah.
It just fell apart.
Talk about the Death Star. The Millennium Falcons were not well made either.
No.
I mean, I remember the thing snapped off of the Falcon cockpit that I had to glue it back on.
Yeah.
There's a million things, but
I loved my Y-wing. I loved the classic X-wing. That's something you couldn't. Yeah. And the TIE fighter with the wings coming off.
It was great for me.
All right, I want to move on to Duel of Fates. I wanted to get this one. Joseph came up with this one. I don't react the way Maude does, but I react as well. My soul stirs. Perfect. Duel of Fates this week. Joseph Scrimshaw said, hey, how about we do this? We're going to have some figure fights. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to debate figure versus figure, but it's not the character versus the character. We're going to take a look. If we would actually fight the figures... Mm-hmm. Who would win?
Yeah.
Follow along if you can make this jump to light speed out there listening to us. Take your roller skates off. The first one is 2-1-B, the medical droid, versus EV-99, Jabba's droid in charge of his torture and droid relocation program. Down the leaf. You're a feisty one.
You'll soon learn some respect.
So, Mike Black, who do you got? 2-1-B, the rebel medical droid versus EV-99.
Well, one heals people all day, and the other one tears robots apart all day. It's really no contest to me. It's 99.
Going 99?
Yeah.
Riley?
Yeah, I'm going 99 as
99?
Well.
99?
Yeah.
What's some reasoning for that figure, man? Why don't you look at that? Look at
all you have to do is unhook that gas thing on his face, and he's going to pull one of those sort of moves, and then you just kill him.
I just, I have a fun, 99 is the Jabba.
He's
right?
The one. There's, yeah. There's, yeah. There's 88, who is the one. He's the one
88
actually,
is white.
Yeah, he's the white, thin, skeletal one who is hurting the gonk droid.
Right, right. No, I go with the Jabba's palace droid. Okay. I mean, because he was, and again, he's just got a mean spirit in him that I think can carry him over into the winning column.
So, EV99, Scrimshaw.
Oh, I go with 2-1-B because this is action figure on action figure. I don't think 99 came with anything.
No, I think it just had a processing point. Computer.
And 2-1-B has some sort of like space needle, so he could just shoot him with droid heroin.
Can I change
and
my
blow his mind out?
Droid heroin is canon, by the way. It is canon.
That's
I don't know if that's a loss for 99 though. for
well, him, it's, it a might good, be a win. It's a good death.
Yeah. I think 99 actually already was on droid heroin. That's how he ended up at Jabba's palace.
There you go.
I'm going with Scrimshaw on this. 99 could probably win if this was kind of a roast. Like if it was him versus Jeff Ross at a roast, maybe it'd be different. But I'm going with 2-1-B because he's just got some. He could take a syringe. That little figure had something with him. I'm going with that one too.
Yeah.
So our next battle, and this one I think is going to make some of you out there. King Brick has been mentioning this guy's name on the chat room board here for a while. So this character is Pruneface versus Hammerhead.
Yes.
We got Hammerhead up. Pruneface versus Hammerhead. Who do you got in this epic fight, Joseph Scrimshaw?
Well, I think that Hammerhead would probably ultimately win. For people who might not remember Pruneface, which is, by the way, one of the most insulting names of all the insulting Star Wars names.
Sure.
Just a guy with a messed up face in one eye and an eye patch. Mm-hmm. He also came out really late, so when there was nothing left of Star Wars but a bunch of sad Lobots in 1985,
right.
Every once in a while, you would find a Pruneface. Yeah. And he was a really cool action figure. He had a cape, he had a long gun, but I think Hammerhead has two working eyes, Pruneface only has one working eye, and if they both lost their blasters, I think Hammerhead could do some physical damage with his big head and his big hands and his big...
Feet
and his naked thighs.
There's a lot of big he has a very like 1980 aerobics instructor kind
that
of outfit.
Thigh gap though. Yeah. He's got a hell of a thigh gap.
He's dressed to fight.
Yeah. Who do you have black in this contest?
Yeah, I gotta agree. You just yank on his patch and stick your thumb in his skull. You know, it's
how do you
real
like that?
Easy.
How do you like that?
It's real easy to fight dirty with.
Best sentence ever.
Couldn't even finish it.
Really, it's really easy to fight dirty with Pruneface. It's a sentence uttered on Jedi Alliance. Mark Riley, this epic fight.
Oh, Hammerhead, and I speak from experience because I would. Pruneface.
That Pruneface card back.
Oh, that looks like Jessica Tandy.
That guy.
It is,
Who won some cookies?
Wasn't this a non-Golden Pond action figure, too?
It looks like a concept art from Return to Oz.
Yeah. This guy was actually an extra from that sequel to Return to Oz, and he just showed up on set. You're like, there you go. No, Hammerhead would win because I would. Hammerhead took out some heroes of the Star Wars saga in my battles, including Luke Skywalker, with his head. I did the hammer. I'm like, this guy. I mean, I remember doing a battle where he had the gun and Luke was able to slice it with his lightsaber, and he just went, nope. And won. So
I hope that was his recurring catchphrase.
Hammerhead.
Nope.
I'm going with Hammerhead. Now, I know some people are talking about the R. Smith just say that Hammerhead is a derogatory name for the entire race, the Lothorians. They're actually peaceful. But when you grew up in the 80s, this was the name of the figure, was Hammerhead.
Yeah,
so
you just see as Walrus
I'm
man,
going, I don't care if his race is peaceful. He's got a gun and those hands. He would crush Pruneface, finish the job that nature already started, and just finish off Pruneface. I'm going Hammerhead. But
yeah,
this one.
And I did
Mau
anybody...
Mauna Dunn, is that his? I think that's his proper name.
Yeah, that's probably something. Yeah, it's in there.
But in the original movie, though, what always got me was there was that before Lucas changed it. Of course, there was that meeting between the. No, there wasn't. I'm thinking of something else. Never mind. Carry on.
Carry on. The final battle here in what has been a very fun Duel of Fates and a great episode. We're so glad you guys are joining us, just talking and celebrating Star Wars and the. Kenner line of action figures. The final one was a one of the characters that Joseph suggested, and one of my suggestions. We pitted them together. Imperial Dignitary, who was the Emperor's religious council, versus Low Gray, the Ewok medicine man, in an epic battle. Of really number twos, of counselors.
Yes.
Chief Chirpa had Low Gray, the Emperor had Imperial Dignitary.
Round one, fight!
Yes, put. In the Mortal Kombat battle.
Who do you got?
Low Gray would want to immediately light him on fire, obviously, since, and cook him and eat him, obviously. But the Imperial Dignitary action figure scared me more than anything. I saw Friday the 13th, and the Imperial Dignitary was scarier to me in that movie. Because he knew nothing about him. He's just like, there's a man who's older and uglier and more upsetting than Palpatine.
Yeah.
And there's an action figure of him you can bring home. You knew nothing about his function. Like, does he tell, like, Palpatine about religion? Does he tell him, like, which fork to use at official dinners? We don't know anything about him. He's a mystery.
He's a wild card.
He's a wild card.
And he just kind of disappears when the Emperor's done talking to him, and oh, wow.
Yeah, he might have force powers, but I think if it's an action figure battle, Low Gray has a bone-shaped, like, hawk skull on his head that he could probably stab the dignitary in the crotch with.
Which means that sometime he beat up a giant hawk.
Yes.
You know, so, like,
yeah.
A hawk. And put it
on. You don't just buy a hat like that. Yeah.
Riley, weigh in on this one.
Low Gray for the win.
Low Gray.
Absolutely. Look at that guy. He's got that. Everything that Joseph has already said.
Yeah.
He would light this scary looking whatever he is on fire, eat him. Probably, I don't know. I mean, I don't think this guy.
Wear his skin, yeah.
An Imperial Dignitary. No weapons. Just let's just look at the figure if we can. No weapons. No holsters built into this guy.
Yeah. Maybe something under his hat.
You know, he looks like, you know, he could go to a Renaissance fair, so that already puts him on the iffy list. So I think Low Gray for the win.
Going for Low Gray. We got Dignitary. We got Low Gray. No, you went.
I went Low Gray.
Low Gray. Low Gray.
For me, I think it's a draw. Because they're both religious clerics. They're not fighters. They get other people to do their fighting for them. Honestly, the first time I saw the Imperial Dignitary, I thought it was the Emperor's wife. I had no idea.
Just hanging out.
That it was a dude.
They were just chatting. Like, could be Palpatine's husband. That'd be fine.
Sure.
Sheev might go that way. We don't know.
I have a feeling these two would talk it out and just, you know, hug or something at the end. Just go their separate ways.
Yeah.
Just sit down for a nice conversation. Yeah. So you're going push. Low Gray push. I think I have to go a clean sweep for Low Gray. Those Indians, those Ewoks, excuse me. Those native Andorians.
Thank you.
So this episode has come off the Bantha tracks here. Love it. This is
such
great.
A good way.
I would go with Low Gray. I mean, you don't know what's in that pouch on that figure.
No.
Yeah, he's the one who looked the least like a teddy bear. He is the one who looked like he could actually F someone up.
He's kind of like their egg Shen from Big Trouble in Little China,
right? Yeah.
He has a six demon bag and all that.
He's the one sitting there advising Chirpa to, no, let's eat this guy with the vest on.
He looks like he means business in the film.
Yeah.
That's true.
And even after they tell him things that are impressive, he's like, Go back to cooking.
I'm okay.
Ewoks are vicious. They're like, we know you're a princess now and your hair's down, but no, we don't care. Yeah. You're our golden god droid. No, we're going to eat this guy. We need to eat. We need to eat. So I'm going with Low Gray there. I'm going to put these on the Facebook page. Jedi Alliance, find it, and I want you guys to weigh in, and we'll talk about it next week when we break down the winners of the figure battle. Joseph, that was a great concept for Duel of Fates.
Awesome.
Thank you for surprising.
It's a very good idea. I loved it.
Yeah, we might
laughing my ass.
We might have to do more of those later on when we bring you guys back to do the later edition of the figures. We'll do that episode there. This has been very fun. I'm glad you guys got to. We put some things into canon today.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, it's some droid heroin. Kyle Harlow just put Andorian American. We can put that out there too. We can all do that. We had some fun. You guys are true blue Star Wars fans who love to celebrate the saga, which is what we do here on Jedi Alliance. Mike Black, where can they find you and follow you?
For everything, it's at Mike Black Attack.
And I'm telling you, follow this man on Twitter, but most importantly on Instagram if you like action figures and collectibles and toys. This guy is a veritable treasure trove of great pictures and knowledge of figures. Mark Riley, the editor-in-chief of SchmoesKnow.com, and also one of the forces over there, Dramathy 4 and I See the Frog. Where else?
Yeah, just if you want to get all those updates on IseeTheFrog.com or SchmoesKnow.com, follow me on Twitter, at Riley Around, R-E-I-L-L-Y, Around.
Absolutely. Mr. Joseph Scrimshaw, I love having you on the show. The fans love having you on the show. I'm so glad you survived your brother's abuse of your C-3PO figure and came out here to join us. Where can they follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can find everything else on josephscrimshaw.com. That leads to everything in particular. I'm doing a tour of the West Coast with my friends, the Double Clicks. It's going to be a lot of geeky humor. There'll be a lot of Star Wars jokes and whatnot. Nice, so if you're on the West Coast, go to josephscrimshaw.com and look for the tour info.
Absolutely, man. And, of course, Stephen in the booth, thank you for your help today, sir. And we had, I think I dumped about 80 pictures on you, and you went through well. I appreciate doing that as well. This has been fun. Again, like I said, no official permanent co-host has been named. A lot of you keep asking me. I've just gotten to the point with right now, I want to bring in different voices and faces, and Scrimshaw's going to be back. My favorite name in the world now, Scrimshaw! Riley's going to make appearances. Of course, Mike Black, our resident toy expert, we are absolutely going to bring you back next week. John Rocha, who is a friend of Schmoes. Awesome. You've also heard him on Far, Far Away, and it's a great wrestling podcast as well. Good guy, friend of ours. He's going to come in. Megan Finley's going to come back. I'm going to try to get Mary Jedekin on, who's a Star Wars fan as
She's
well.
She's a fantastic guest.
We got a lot of people coming in. I'm going to try to get Jenna Bush back. And also, just finally confirmed, I think it's going to happen, finally going to get Jennifer Landa on the show. Her YouTube channel, Jennifer Landa, she does all things Star Wars, and she just had a big Star Wars wedding, and we're going to talk to her about that. That's a lot of things, guys. So stick with us here at Jedi Alliance. If you like having fun talking about Star Wars, celebrating Star Wars, a little bit of speculation, we'll talk about that stuff. Felicity Jones as Sabine, maybe we'll speculate. But this has been another fun edition of Jedi Alliance. Do not forget to get this episode and others on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/popcorntalk. So many shows on the Popcorn Talk Network, like Profiles with Mansa Malone, Guilty Movie Pleasures, Box Office Breakdown, Meet the Movie Press with Mark Riley. You got Marvel Movie News, DC Movie News, and a lot of other shows coming on the Popcorn Talk. Stay tuned. They got great interviews, exclusive red carpet stuff, a lot of fun things. Don't forget the Schmoes Know main show live every Thursday, 6 p.m. PST. Follow us at Jedi_Alliance, at the Popcorn Talk, at Schmoes Know. If you want to get some movie news, go to SchmoesKnow.com. And you can follow me at Ken Knapsack. So until next time, we missed you, Chewie. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for listening.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.